divorced. Meaning, or they thought they were divorced. He divorced her or threw or stated the third talaq while she was in her menses. At the time they were informed that since he said talaq while she was in her menses, that the talaq did not fall. So they returned to one another and resumed sexual relations as man and wife. Later, they were notified by other people that they are in fact divorced. The sister became pregnant or was impregnated and she now carries a child. Is this child considered a child of marriage or a child of fornication?
Alhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man walah. قبل أن أجيب على السؤال فإني أحمد الله تبارك وتعالى أن جعلنا وإياكم من المسلمين الذين يحرصون على الحلال والحرام ويقدرون محبة الله ورسوله ليعرفوا أفعالهم الجائز منها والممنوع، مع أنكم ها هنا تعيشون في مجتمع لا يهتم بهذه الأمور ولا يرفع لها رأسا ولا يقيم لها وزنا، فاحمدوا الله على ذلك حمدا كثيرا واسألوه المزيد من فضله سبحانه وتعالى. أما الجواب على السؤال فأقول لا شيء في هذا الولد، وهو ولد من الحلال الطيب إن شاء الله، وبخاصة أن ذلك صادر عن فتيا من هو لها أهل، والنقض لهذه الفتية لا دليل عليه ولا يجوز نقضه لها بدون هذا الدليل أو البينة، والله أعلم.
The Sheikh answered the question by saying, I first praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has made us Muslim, valuing the importance of knowing the halal from the haram, wanting to know the good from the evil. Although in the society that you live in, this is something that is not made into an important issue. I begin by answering this question by saying, the child that is produced out of this union is a child that is halal. He is not to be considered a child of the bed or a child begotten from zina. He is a child that is through lawful marriage. The first fatwa that was issued in regards that the marriage was valid and that the third issuance of the man saying talaq did not in fact fall since she was in her menses. Therefore they were still married and the child is halal. As for the second fatwa, there has to be proof to show that this is something that is invalid or there is another circumstance that we are unaware of. Wallahu a'lam. The next question. Who has more rights from the husband, the wife or his mother, knowing that his mother uses drugs, drinks and smokes, and she is not a Muslim?
حسن الصحبة بين الأم والزوجة شأنان لا يتعارضان. أما الزوجة فحسن الصحبة معها حماية بيت الزوجية ورعاية الزوج والعناية بالولد، وكل هذا مقاصد توطد آثار الحياة الزوجية وتعمق قواعد المحبة فيها. أما الأم فإن شأنها مختلف، فإذ وذلك من باب البر ومن باب المصاحبة بالمعروف، حتى لو كانت كافرة وتتعاطى المخدرات بل وتفعل أكثر من ذلك، وهل هنالك أكبر من الشرك؟ لذلك فإن الله تبارك وتعالى يقول في ذكري أو في حق الوالدين، وإن جاهداك على أن تشرك بي ما ليس لك به علم فلا تطعهما وصاحبهما في الدنيا معروفا واتبع سبيل من أناب إليه. لذلك فإن حق هذه الوالدة حتى لو كانت كافرة وللشرع مخالفة أن يرعى حقها وأن تعطى برها بحيث يكون ذلك سبيلا لهدايتها وترقيق قلبها ولو بعد حين وما ذلك على الله بعزيز.
The Sheikh answers the question by saying, these are two separate types of love or rights. The wife is to be given rights that are separate than the rights that the mother is given. As for the rights that the Muslim wife is to be given, it is to stem from the way she protects her household and the children that she has brought forth into this earth. This will lead her husband to give her more love out of seeing the goodness that she is performing and her obedience to him and Allah. As for the love that is given to the mother, it is something of a different nature. Even if the mother is not Muslim, takes or consumes drugs and alcohol, even if she is practicing of shirk, and what is greater than shirk? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِن جَاهَدَاكَ, if they fight against you, ordering you to disbelieve in Allah in a way that you do not know, فَلَا تُطِعْهُمَا, do not obey them, whether it's your father or mother, وَصَاحِبْهُمَا فِي الدُّنْيَا مَعْرُوفًا, yet maintain a good relationship with them, built on honoring them, respecting them. وَاتَّبِعْ سَبِيلَ مَنْ أَنَابَ إِلَيْهِ, yet always follow the path of those who turn to me in repentance and turn to me seeking my forgiveness. So therefore, even if she's a disbeliever, the Muslim man must honor his mother, must show her certain type of love, must treat her with respect, but this does not infringe on the love or the different type of love that he must show his wife in his home. And maybe by loving his mother, treating her with respect and giving her her rights, it will lead her into an understanding of al-Islam that she may not possess at this specific time. Brother, please explain the way for a wife to give advice to her husband, knowing that sometimes when she gives advice to him, he thinks that she is being ungrateful. How can she give sincere advice?
الجواب أن المرأة الصالحة هي التي تعرف حق نفسها وحق زوجها، وتعرف أيضا الطريقة التي تستطيع من خلالها الدخول على هذا الزوج لمناصحته وتذكيره وأمره ونهيه، إذ إن بعض الناس سواء أكانوا رجالا أم أناسا لا يحسنون القول ولا يحسنون الكلام، فقد يظنون أنهم يحسنون وهم يفسدون، قد يظنون أنهم ينصحون وهم لا يحسنون. لذلك المرأة تعرف من خلال عشرتها بزوجها ما يؤذيه وما يفرحه، ما يصلحه وما يتعسه، فلتنظر العبارات الطيبة والأوقات المناسبة التي يكون زوجها بها مسرورا ومنتظرا متقبلا للحق لتستغلها في نصحها. أما أن تراه ضجرا أو غضبانا أو مستاء من بعض الأمور ثم هي تزيد عليه بأن تتكلم معه في هذه الأمور التي تريد نصحها به، فإن ذلك سبيل قد يبعده عن قبول الحق والتجاوب معها فيما تريده أو تريده منه، بحيث تكون الاستجابة منه في هذا الوقت ممنوعة أو ضعيفة، والله أعلم.
The Sheikh answers the question by saying, the Muslim woman must first learn her rights and know the rights that her husband has over her. She must become well acquainted with her husband's habits, his moods, his attitudes, when he is pleased and when he is displeased, when he's relaxed and when he is angered. All of these things she must discover in hopes of learning the opportune time to come to him with a suggested with a suggested nasiha or sincere advice. She must choose the right time, she must choose the right place, she must choose the right reason. All of these things are factors that she must take into consideration. If she sees her husband in a state where he is angered by something, she should not put forth an advice that may lead him into more anger and lead him further into disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She should speak when she sees he's in a state of tranquility, in a state of peace, hoping with sincerity that her words will be taken and adhered to, inshaAllah. Otherwise, it may lead him further and further away from that which is better. My question is about the woman when she is in her menses. I have heard from several people that when a woman has her menses, she is not allowed to touch the Qur'an or recite it. What is the correct answer? What about staying inside the masjid or entering it?
أما المكث في المسجد للحائض وقراءة القرآن فأمران جائزان، ولكن اختلف أهل العلم اختلافا قويا في مسألة مس المصحف، والذي أراه أن الاحتياط في ذلك أفضل، وأن تجتنب المرأة مس المصحف في وقت حيضها وعدم طهرها. والحمد لله أن الله عز وجل أغنانا عن الدخول في مثل هذه المضائق بوجود التسجيل والكاسيت في هذه الأيام، بحيث تستطيع المرأة أن تراجع ما تحفظ في وقت حيضتها دون أن تمس المصحف وأن تدخل أو أن تدخل تحت دائرة الريبة التي قد توقعها في إثم. نسأل الله لنا ولكنا المغفرة والرحمة.
The Sheikh answered the question by saying, as for staying inside the masjid or entering a masjid or reciting the Qur'an without holding it, it is permitted. It is permitted for the Muslim sister to read the Qur'an from her memory without touching the Qur'an and to stay inside the masjid or enter a masjid. As for touching the mushaf, for touching the book itself, the scholars have disagreed in two different sides. Therefore, we see that the closest to the truth is that we circumvent the disagreement by not touching the Qur'an, especially when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with tapes and tape recorders that the Muslim sister may listen to the Qur'an being recited and therefore forego having to touch the mushaf itself. So the Sheikh says it would be better if she did not touch the mushaf with her hand, knowing that there is disagreement amongst the scholars. Wallahu a'lam. Is it permissible, or is it permitted to hit your child when they are not listening? The question is, can the Muslim sister, can a parent strike the child to correct him?
الأصل أن يجتنب ضرب الطفل لأنه لا يعقل ولا يفهم، والنبي عليه الصلاة والسلام جعل الضرب وسيلة لتقويم الطفل في سن يكون فيه كبيرا، وهو سن العاشرة، حيث قال: علموا أبناءكم الصلاة وهم أبناء سبع، واضربوهم عليها وهم أبناء عشر. ولذلك هذا الضرب الذي ذكر في الحديث ليس ضربا فيه إيذاء، وليس ضربا فيه شدة، ولكنه ضرب خفيف يشعر الطفل بأن هذا الفعل الذي فعله فعل يسخط والده ويسيئه، وبالتالي فإنه يعاقبه بمثل هذه العقوبة على صنيعه. فليس الضرب إذن شديدا ولا مؤذيا، وإنما هو ضرب يراد منه تفهيم الطفل أن هذا عقوبة له على فعله بأقل أسلوب وأضيق باب، والله أعلم.
The Sheikh answered the question by saying, the principle is that the child, the foundation that we establish first, is that a child should not, A child should not be struck only at the age where he has reached an age of some maturity. May a correcting strike be used. And this is usually at the age of 10, as is narrated in the hadith. The Prophet ﷺ said, teach your children when they are 7 to pray, and strike them a correcting strike at the age 10 if they do not pray. This strike, or this that you will inflict on the child, must not harm him, must not hurt him. It is intended to embarrass the child into making him realize that he has angered his father or mother, the parent or guardian. This is what is the intended meaning and the intended use of striking the child. It is not to be done out of anger or rage. It is to be done as a corrective measure to show your displeasure to what the child has done. It should not be a regular habit that is practiced. So therefore, the principle is that the child should not be struck until he has reached the age of 10, and this striking should not be with harm or hurt to him, and it should be made out of embarrassing him, not out of inflicting pain. The next question, is it permissible for a woman to pierce her nose or her tongue or any other body part other than her ears?
هذا لا يجوز، وذلك لسببين اثنين. أما الأول أنه تشبه بالكفار، فهذه صنائع لم يعرفها المسلمون إلا من أفعال الكافرين. وأما الأمر الثاني فأنها تمثيل بخلق الله، والله عز وجل يقول حكاية عن قول الشيطان وفعله، ولآمرنهم ليغيرن خلق الله، فهذا من باب التمثيل بخلق الله وتغيير خلق الله، وهذا لا يجوز في دين الله تعالى. ولا يقال بأن هذا يقاس على خرق الأذن، لأن خرق الأذن قد ورد عن السلف الصالح بإقرار النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. والله أعلم.
The Sheikh says, piercing anything other than the ear, لا يجوز, it is not permitted. And this is due to two reasons. First, it is considered tashabbuh. Our Muslim identity and the Muslim lands are unaccustomed to these habits. It is not part of our Muslim culture that we have ever learned any of these habits of body piercing, except from the people of disbelief. Therefore, this is following their example and is not permitted. Secondly, it is in tune with what the shaitan wishes, and that is to change the creation of Allah. So therefore, it is not permitted to pierce the tongue or the nose or things like this, because it is tashabbuh and it is fulfilling what the shaitan wishes to accomplish. And it is not permitted for someone to infer or to make an analogy of the piercing of the ear as the same as piercing the nose. Since piercing the ear was something that was known at the time of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it was something that was practiced in the Salaf and agreed to by the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can a husband and wife pray salah side by side? If yes, please give hadith. If no, please give hadith.
الوارد بالنسبة للمرأة أن صلاتها خلف زوجها، أو بصورة أدق أن صلاتها بصف مستقل، سواء أكانت منفردة أم في جماعة. وأما صلاة المحاذاة، أي الصف بجانب الإمام، فلم يعرف ذلك إلا للرجل، وبالتالي فإن صلاة المرأة تكون خلف زوجها إذا كانت منفردة، لأنه لا يوجد دليل يجيز لها أن تكون كالرجل تصف بجنب الرجل. والله أعلم.
The Sheikh answers by saying, the only narrations that we find are that the Muslim woman is to pray behind her husband, or pray behind the man, whether her husband or child or whoever it may be. She is to stand behind him. As for the statement, can she pray beside him or standing beside him? This has not been known in any of the books or in any of the texts that this is something that has happened. Only a man can stand beside a man, and only a woman can stand beside a woman. And this is what is established. As for a woman standing beside a man in the salah itself, it is not permitted, even if it is husband and wife. I remind my Muslim sisters once again, if they could please lower their voices, inshallah. I realize that it is a confined space. If the Muslim sisters could stop speaking, inshallah. If the Muslim sisters could lower their voice. The next question.
Tell them to lower their voice.
Okay. The brothers also, if anyone has parked their car, or the sisters, if anyone has parked the car in the lot that is adjacent to the school, they are to remove their cars before 8 o'clock because the parking lot will be closed. They will not be able to remove their car. Once again, we begin with the questions and answers. What should a Muslima do if her husband has a masturbating habit and buys pornographic movies and this interferes with their marriage? What should she do? What should she say to her husband? Is this permissible? This problem has been going on since they were married and it's been going on for about 6 years.
سبق أن أجبنا على مثل هذا السؤال بأن يقال بأن نصيحة المرأة لزوجها يجب أن تختار فيها الوقت المناسب والقول المناسب، وأنا أرى أن يكون مثل هذا الزوج في نصيحته من قبل زوجته جزاها الله خيرا أن يعطى شيئا من الكتب أو الأشرطة العلمية التي تتكلم عن هذه المسألة وتبين فسادها وسوءها، فهذا أسلوب طيب من هذه المرأة التي قد لا تستطيع أن تواجه زوجها بما خالف فيه أمر ربها. وأنصح في هذا المقام بكتاب الداء والدواء للإمام ابن القيم، فإنه عالج مثل هذه الأمراض بكلام متين من قول الله عز وجل وقول رسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. وأرى أن هذه المرأة تصبر وتدعو لهذا الزوج وأن تحاول بما آتاها الله عز وجل من حلال معاملتها ومعاشرتها لزوجها أن تغلق عليه بحسن معاملتها هذه الأبواب التي دخل عليه الشيطان بها.
The Sheikh said, we have answered part of this question in our discussion about nasiha and how it should be given. That she should pick certain times and certain strategies in dealing with her husband. The Sheikh says one of the most important things that she can do is instead of arguing with him or her discussing it with him, that she is to give him a book or give him a tape that mentions the evil of this act or these acts, and allow him himself to discover why it is no good. This is something that is most beneficial, that she does not confront him herself, but allows it to manifest itself in a book or in a tape. One of the books the Sheikh advises is Sheikh al-Islam ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah's book, Adda wa Dawa, Diseases and Their Cures. This is a book that deals with this issue and other issues similar to it. So this would be a good book if she could have a person get it for her and translate some of the parts, inshallah. He also advises her to be patient, to make dua for him, and to close the doors that may lead him to this. Meaning, if she is not beautifying herself as much as she can, if she could do these things that will make it easier for him to have a more enjoyable time, this would be something that would be beneficial, inshallah. Should my husband be able to take on a second wife if he cannot afford her, because I am working and paying most of the bills in our marriage in the first place.
Can I make an announcement? Yes, I've made the announcement. I will make it again, inshallah.
أما الجواب عن هذا السؤال بأن يقال لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها، الزواج الثاني أمر مشروع، ولكن أن يكون هذا الزواج عبئا على الرجل وعبئا على الأسرة، وبخاصة أنه لا يعمل وأن المرأة الأولى هي التي تعمل، فهذا قد يسبب شأنا من الفساد والإفساد للأسرة، وبالتالي فالذي يريد أن يتزوج امرأة ثانية يجب أن يكون على قدرة ومسؤولية ومعرفة بأعباء الحياة الزوجية وواجباتها ومتطلباتها.
The Sheikh answers the question by saying it would be permitted if he takes on the second wife. It would be a permitted legal marriage. But it would be a great hardship, especially considering that the first wife describes her as working and paying the bills. Therefore, this Muslim husband should wait until he has the ability to fulfill his obligations to the first wife before attempting to take on the second wife, inshaAllah ta'ala. Is there any ahadith that state that the Muslim woman's attire should be fully black or full black?
لا يوجد دليل على ذلك ولا يوجد حديث يحض على ذلك إلا أنه قد ورد في السنة أنه عندما نزلت آية الحجاب شققت النساء مروطهن حتى صرن كالغرابيب السود. الغرابيب جمع غراب، وهذا من السواد، ولكن لا يقال بأن هذا أفضل أو غير أفضل، وإنما هذا الذي كان أهل مكة من المسلمين في ذلك الحين يلبسونه أو يلبسنه، أعني من النساء. وأمر الألوان بالنسبة لثياب المرأة مرتبط بشيئين اثنين. الشيء الأول هو أن لا يكون لباس شهرة، أي أمرا ملفتا للأنظار مريبا للناظرين، وأما الأمر الثاني أن يكون في عرف هذا البلد أمرا مقبولا غير مستهجن ولا مستنكر. فإذا وجد هذان الأمران بالنسبة للون فلا مانع من لبس أي لون طالما أنه ساتر للبدن كله وفق الشروط الشرعية الأخرى، والله أعلم.
The Sheikh answers the question by saying there is no dalil or hadith stipulating that the color that is preferred for the Muslim woman to dress herself in is black. What is found in the Sunnah is that when the verse of hijab was revealed to the Prophet ﷺ, the majority of the women donned on garments that made them appear, as the hadith states and it's in Bukhari, donned garments that made them appear like black crows, meaning that they wore something that was black. This does not mean that this is what is preferred. This was the habit that they were accustomed to at that time. Color of the garment for the Muslim sister's attire is relevant. It is to be constricted with two things. The color that she dresses in should not be a source of shuhrah, something that will turn the gazes to her. Meaning if she is in a country where black is the norm, she would not wear a garment made out of hot pink or something of the sort. Also, the second condition is that the color in the place that she is living is to be known as an accepted color, something that is not out of the norm. Wallahu alam. And the garment should fulfill the regular other requirements of the hijab al-shar'i, the requirements of hijab. The next question, I notice a lot of Muslim women with dresses dragging on the ground, picking up all kinds of impurities. And then they go and make salah in these garments. Should this be, where should her dress stop or be hemmed?
نعم هذا الفعل جائز بل سنة ذلكم أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أذن لأم سلمة أن ترخي ثوبها أو جلبابها شبرا أو ذراعا وهذا كله إشارة إلى أنه يجر على الأرض أما كونها تدخل الحمام أو قد يصيبه النجاسة فسئل الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام عن ذلك فقال يطهره ما بعده فلا إشكال على هذا الفعل ونسأل الله أن يتقبل أجر من تفعله من أخواتنا المسلمات.
The sheikh answers the question by saying, dragging the garment, the Muslim sister, dragging the garment on the ground, making it extra long, it is something that is sunnah for the Muslim women to do. As is stipulated in the hadith of Umm Salama radiallahu anha, where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised her and therefore the rest of the Muslim women that their dresses should hang at a handspan on the ground. It should be a handspan on the ground around them. As for the question of the dress picking up impurities when she enters the bathroom and things like this, or najasa, the Prophet ﷺ was asked the same question. He said, what it will be dragged on after will cleanse it. Meaning that there would be no problem, that what it will track after will cleanse it, inshaAllah. And the Shaykh made dua for the Muslim sisters who practice the sunnah to give them strength in their resolve and abilities. The next question. Is it permissible for a woman to cut her hair if she has her husband's permission?
نعم يجوز للمرأة أن تقصر شعرها بإذن زوجها بشرطين اثنين. أما الشرط الأول ألا يكون هذا القص مشابها لشعر الرجال. الأمر الثاني ألا يكون فيه مشابهة للموديلات والموضات التي تفعلها الفاجرات من الكافرات. فإذا كان هذا شأنا نسائيا محضا ليس فيه شائبة تشبه بالرجال أو بأفعال الكافرات الفاجرات فهذا جائز والله أعلم.
The Sheikh answers the question by saying it is permitted for the Muslim sister to shorten her hair if she has her husband's permission as long as she conforms to these two regulations. First, the haircut that she has is not to appear as being a male haircut. She's not to shorten it to the point that it resembles the haircut of a man. Second, it should not be the haircut that the disbelievers are accustomed to, that they do as a state of fashion and or a fashion sense or statement. So therefore, if she establishes distance from these two tashabbuh of men and tashabbuh of disbelievers, and she has her husband's permission, it would be permitted for her to shorten her hair, inshaAllah. Does a man have to tell his wife that he is about to take on another wife? And if he thought it will be a problem for his wife, is it permissible to hide his marriage from his first wife until a better time arises?
يتزوج امرأة ثانية بدون
أما من حيث الجواز فإن هذا يجوز، ولكني أعتقد أن هذا الجواز مرجوح، بحيث إن هذا الفعل يسيء للعشرة الزوجية، وإن من تمام حسن الزوجية أن تكون المرأة على بينة من أمرها وشأنها، فتمام المحبة ودوام الصلة يكمن بالوضوح والبيان لا بالخفاء والأسرار التي مهما طال وقتها وأوانها فإنها ستنكشف وتظهر ولو بعد حين، فحينئذ ستحدث المفاسد والمشاكل والفتن، بل قد أقول قد يؤدي ذلك إلى هدم بيت الزوجية وإفساده، والله الموفق.
The Sheikh answered by saying, it is permitted for the Muslim husband to marry a second wife without informing the first one. Yet, the Sheikh says yet, or but, it is not a good decision for him to make. The woman should be in the picture. She should know what she is in, the situation that she is in. She should not be afraid of a secret like this being uncovered later on in her relationship with her husband. Therefore, things should be laid bare, made known, in hopes of preserving soundness of mind and salvaging one's marriage. For we hope that this is something that will not come later, and it will be made known later. Things like this are not held secret. We hope that it will not come later and may, and we repeat, may destroy the household or the situation that the husband had already had with his first wife. If you see a Muslim or a Muslimah doing something wrong, drinking alcohol for example, and they give you salam, should you return or not return the salam?
الأصل أن لا ترد السلام، وذلك لسببين اثنين. أما الأول فإن إلقاء السلام بين الرجال والنساء لا يجوز إلا في موضع الائتمان والثقة والاطمئنان. أما الأمر الثاني فإنه يخشى بسبب رد السلام على هذا أن يكون ذلك سبيلا يظن به نفسه على الحق أو غير مخالف للحق فيما يفعله من خمر أو سكر أو إساءة لنفسه ودينه، وهو لا يشعر لما في نفسه من جهل وضلال، والله يهدينا وإياه.
The Sheikh answered by saying, the person should not return the salam. I repeat, the person should not return the salam. And this is for two reasons. First, because the salam should be given as a source of security and peace. Second, the salam should not be returned to an individual of this nature so that he does not think that we are complacent with him or that we agree with what he's doing or think that what he has done is fine and permitted or okay, that there is no problem with it. So for these reasons, you would not return the salam to such an individual. What is the issue or verdict on birth control methods by the husband to impede having more children for financial reasons?
الأصل عدم جواز ذلك، لأن الله يقول نحن نرزقكم وإياهم، ويقول نحن نرزقهم وإياكم. وأما العزل الشرعي الجائز فهو ما يكون بسبب تأثير المرض أو إيقاع الضرر على الزوجة نتيجة الحمل، وهذا لا يكون أيضا بمجرد التوهم أو الظن، وإنما يكون باستشارة الطبيب المسلم الفاهم في طبه والمتفقه في شرعه، وأما غير ذلك فلا، والله خير الرازقين.
The Sheikh answered by saying, this is something that is not permitted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, we will give you sustenance and them, meaning you and your children. In another ayah he says, we will give them, the children, sustenance, and then we will give you sustenance. In two different ways, sustenance will be received for the child. So there should be no restrictions for financial reasons or things of this nature. Also, the Sheikh points out, the reason that a person may abstain from having a child is due to health reasons. And this should be established by a Muslim doctor who is knowledgeable of Islam as well as of medicine. And he should help the Muslim family in making such a decision. This is what is best. In making the salah, should the tashahud be said in full after each second rak'ah?
أما التشهد الثاني التشهد الأوسط عفوا فإنه يجوز فيه إتمام ذكره إلى آخره بالصلاة على النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حينا ويجوز تركه حينا آخر فالأمر فيه على السنة والاستحباب لا على الفرض والإيجاب.
The Sheikh answers by saying, it is permitted to say the full tashahud only after the second rak'ah, meaning the middle tashahud. You are permitted to say the full tashahud with sending the blessings on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the salah on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is something that is intended. It is something that does not have to be done. If it is done, it is permitted. Otherwise, it would be fine if it is not done all the time.
إذا كانت الدراسة غير مختلطة فيجوز بهذه النية الطيبة. أما إذا كانت الدراسة مختلطة وفيها ما فيها مما لا يخفى على ذي نظر من الفساد والإفساد فهذا لا يجوز، والنية الصالحة لا بد لها من عمل صالح.
The Sheikh answers the question by saying, even if there is a sincere intention and a sincere will to do good for learning something that will benefit the Muslim Ummah out of good intention, it must be upheld with good action. And since non-segregated schools or schools where there are mixed boy and girl classes, this is something that is not of a good action, therefore it invalidates the good intention. Therefore it is something that would not be permitted. The question, it comes to Sheikh Ali. It says, what is the intended meaning of the Prophet ﷺ saying that Allah does not like an excess of asking too many questions or entering into discussions of simple principles, to ask so many questions about a specific topic.
أما كثرة السؤال المنهي عنها فهي الأسئلة التي لا فائدة منها ولا تحصيل من ورائها، فينشغل الناس حينئذ بالقيل والقال وكثرة السؤال وما لا فائدة فيه بحال من الأحوال. وأما إضاعة المال فإنفاقه في غير حله أو الإسراف فيه والتبذير به، فقد نهى الله تعالى عن الإسراف والتبذير وجعل المبذرين من أخوان الشياطين.
The Sheikh answers the question by saying, what is intended by asking too many questions are questions and things that will have no beneficial action built on them, meaning they are questions that are not really relevant to day-to-day life. They are questions that are just made as a source of arguments or wasting time. As for wasting money in things, it means wasting it in things that are not permitted or being extravagant in buying things that are permitted to have. So these are the things that should be are meant by the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Is it allowed to sing a song about Allah, like I praise Allah in these songs? I know that music is haram, But if I sing about Allah with no music, just to praise Him, is this permitted?
إذا كان ذلك كذلك فلا مانع بشرط ألا يكون أمرا غالبا وإنما يكون شأنا طارئا في حين دون بقية الأحيان وفي وقت دون بقية الأوقات أما التوسع فيه فلا يجوز والله أعلم.
The Sheikh answers by saying it is permitted to sing a song about praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala under what the conditions the sister has stipulated, meaning that there are not people who are unrelated to her presence and things like this. There are no musical instruments. There would be no problem with her singing such a song praising Allah as long as it does not become a regular habit. It is not something that she does out of regular habit. And I asked the Sheikh if this is something that can be counted as being worship and or to be given reward for, and he said it is something that is not part of worship and she would not receive a reward for it. Because ibadah must can only be established with a dalil. It can only be established with a statement or a saying from Allah or His Prophet or the actions of the Sahaba and so forth. The question says, if you are raising a Muslim child and both parents are Muslim and the child was conceived in a halal marriage, if one of the parents suddenly, the father in brackets, has gone astray, beginning to engage in drinking alcohol and smoke and drugs, marijuana, is it permissible to keep the child away from him until he returns to the practice of the sunnah?
أنا أقول أخشى أن يكون منع هذا الزوج من زيارة ابنه ولقائه سببا في أن يزداد به هذا الزوج المخالف لأمر ربه مخالفة وأن يزداد ظلما وأن يزداد معصية. لذلك أرى أن يفسح له وأن يعان على نفسه لا أن نعين الشيطان عليه بل يجب أن نعينه على الشيطان.
The Sheikh answers by saying, I suspect that if the child is kept away from his father or he is not given visiting rights to the child, it may anger him and depress him more. This could lead him into more oppression of himself, entering more into alcoholism and drugs, and therefore it would be doing him a disservice. It may be better to allow him access or supervised access to the child, where he will be able to see him and realize the mistake that he has fallen into, and this may be a source of correction and saving him from the shaitan. So this may be a way of protecting him against the shaitan, saving him from this action. The sister asks, when performing ghusl, while wiping the private part, does one wipe the anus as well as the vagina?
في الغسل الواجب تعميم الماء البدن كله، الواجب أن يعمم الماء في البدن كله، وبالتالي فكلا الموضعين مما يجب غسله وإيصال الماء إليه.
The chef answered by saying, since ghusl from its integral points is that water must touch all parts of the body, therefore the anus must be included in this for the ghusl to be valid. The question, my daughter is in second year in public high school and I see a change in her. She is very rebellious now and she is also fighting me. How do I deal with this? It is such a fitna in my house. What should I do?
قبل أن نعرف ماذا نفعل يجب أن نأخذ درسا مما فعلنا. ذلكم أن أبواب الفتنة في هذه البلاد مفتوحة على مصاريعها، وبالتالي فيجب أن يكون منا محافظة على أبنائنا وبناتنا، وألا يكون منا إضاعة لهم بأيدينا ثم نسأل كيف نرجعهم وكيف نردهم ونقول لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. أما الجواب فأن يقال ليس لهذه البنت إلا الترغيب والترهيب ومحاولة علاجها وإصلاحها والتأثير العاطفي عليها وإظهار الحرص وإبدالها بما هي فيه من فسق وتمرد ببيئة أخرى أصلح منها وأهون عليها، هذا كله قد يكون سببا في إصلاحها. أما تركها أو هجرها أو طردها فإنه سيزيدها سوءا على ما هي فيه من تمرد وسوء، وقد لا يكون إلا سببا في مزيد من البلاء. فإن كانت الأم أو إن كان الوالدان قادرين على الهجرة بهذه البنت وبقية الأبناء إلى بلد مسلم لتنجو مما هي فيه ولينجو مما أوقعتهم هي فيه، فهذا أفضل الأعمال وأولاها وأولها.
The chef answers the question by saying, before we learn what to do now, let us first take a lesson from what we have already done. The mistake that we have already fallen into, let us take it as a lesson for us and others, for yourself and others, that this is a society that will open all of the doors of evil. And unless the child is taught and the family is brought up upon the ethics and the laws of Al-Islam, it will be very difficult later on in life to bring them to conform to the truth. As for this child and others like her, she is to be shown Allah, she is to be shown the way to Allah through at-targhib wa tarhib, telling her the rewards, showing her the warnings, telling her what she will get if she obeys, what she must do to gain reward, what she must stay away from, or else she will be part of those whom Allah has warned. She must also be shown that we have an emotional attachment to her, a biological, physical, emotional, psychological attachment to her, and that you are unwilling to separate her or let her stray away from the truth of Al-Islam. You should show her that you love her, that you are concerned, that you will never let her go into the way of the shaitan. Do not be physical or abusive to her. Call her with goodness. For such an action of abuse or being physical or yelling, this is something that may distance her, make her fall further and further into disobeying Allah, and make her rebel even more. So therefore, these are some of the measures that you may use. InshaAllah, that was our last question. We will conclude now. The next session should begin, inshallah, after the dinner or maghrib prayer. I repeat once again, if any of you have cars parked in the lot adjacent to the school, The lot will close at 8 p.m. and you will not be able to get your car out of there. This is where we conclude. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
السلام عليكم.